Hello, friends. What's going on? Today on the podcast, I teased it at the end of the other one. We have my guy, Chris. You know him as the Bonafide Hustler. This guy is a wizard when it comes to flipping and garage sailing and picking. And I'm excited to talk to him because for me, I'm like minor league. I'm trying to creep my way up into pro. This guy, he went pro. He's been pro. He's a superstar at the pro level in flipping. And so this episode is obviously going to be geared towards those past four episodes that I put out with the flipping tips. And this, I guess, it's going to be some information on if you want to start flipping. I'm going to pick his brain on that a little bit, like how to get into it. I'm going to pick his brain a little bit on if you are flipping and just want to grow your business already that you already have, what he suggests, like tips for selling on eBay or Facebook Marketplace. Just going to try to get as much value out of this episode as we can. And with that being said, let's do it. What is happening, this and those listeners? I hope you guys are doing super, super well today. It is a downpour over here in Charlotte. But like I said, today we got the Bonafide Hustler coming on here. If you don't know who that is, he's big on YouTube. And, I mean, he has different guides out there to help you if you want to start selling. And I'm extremely excited to talk to him. So I'm going to get him on the phone, and we'll be right back. All right, so I am joined on the phone by Chris, a.k.a. the Bonafide Hustler. How you doing today?
Doing well, man, doing well.
So I saw your Instagram story today. It looked like you were out on the hunt. Did you find anything?
Yeah, found four things. I found a pair of cool pants for $6 that'll probably sell for $50.
Jeez.
I found a CC Filson bag that was $10 that'll probably sell for $100 or more. Found a pair of Fire women's boots that were, I think, $9. Those will sell for around maybe $100. And then I found one more thing, which was like a sealed new Cobra thing that it's a charger for like a Cobra walkie talkie kind of thing. You know?
Okay.
Anyway, it was brand new. $5. That'll go to Amazon, and that'll pay me around $43.
So
not too bad, yeah. And I was out for about 2.5 hours.
There's a lot of people not making that in 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's why I like doing what I do, man. But I don't like to do it all the time. I mean, I can make a whole lot more money if I want to, but I just do it, you know, what makes me happy.
How often are you going out and like thrifting, or how often are you going to garage sales?
So I allow myself about 16 hours a week total, and that's for the most part, that's everything, like the research, the boxing up of anything, taking it to wherever it needs to go, shipping it off, about 16 hours. So I do about 2 hot shots during the week, which is like where I go thrifting for 2.5 hours, and sometimes 3 maybe. And then that leaves the weekend, and you know, from about 6:30 to about 11:30, I'm garage selling on a Saturday. And then there's an extra 5 hours in the mix where I can just kind of do whatever I want, process things, list things, so take pictures of things. So it's just one of those, it's a fun project that pays all my fixed costs, you know,
okay,
in life. And I only do it for like 16 hours a week, and I make a YouTube channel, which I think if we roll on the YouTube channel, which really shouldn't be rolled in there, but like that's the part that takes a little bit more time, that, you know, takes plenty of hours a week to edit things and get it right and the social media stuff, but for the most part, the actual action and making the money is down to about 16 hours a week, yeah.
Is it every Saturday? Is that like a guaranteed that you're going out, basically?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, I even remember, you know, a Saturday right after Thanksgiving, like two or three years ago, and I went out and I found one thing, and it was just a bag, a duffel bag full of, like, brand new mountaineering gloves. And the dude was like, like $10 for the whole bag. So I paid $10 for the whole bag, and there was probably 13 pairs of gloves in there.
Oh, wow.
And each, you know, pair of gloves was, like, selling for $60 to $85.
So,
and I moved them all like 3 weeks later. They all moved, and then they were all gone. I was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, you know, just goes to show you that even at a weekend after Thanksgiving, you know, like I still went out for like an hour and a half.
Right.
And I probably cranked out close to about $800, you know.
When,
that was pretty cool.
When you sell, say, like, you know, the pants, you bought them for $6, they'll sell for $50, or the bag that you bought for $10, sell for $100. What do you get, like, the most success from selling them on? Because I know, like, at least for new sellers, eBay will limit, you know, how much you can post and how much you can make. Is that what you use for most of your sales? Or is it, like, Facebook Marketplace or some other type?
So that's a really good question. I would love to say that eBay was a lot of the sales, you know, but it's not. I mean, local sales are great, too. And I sell a lot of local things. Which I like a lot because it's one and done. You know, I'll ship it, on, you know, pack it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sold, like just the other day I sold a $6 little kid's push bike for $70, right?
Right.
Like just like an example of just a local sale. It's one and done. Like you just, you know, the money's yours. There's no chance of return. I love sales like that. So I've been trying to maximize more of those than anything. Now, I think eBay is great if you want exposure for certain things, like a CC Filson bag, for example. While I might cross-list it to Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, it's probably going to sell on eBay because there's, you know, the exposure on eBay is huge when it comes to luggage and travel goods. So, and it's really easy to ship out, you know, something like that. So, I pick and select, you know, what I think will sell in either avenue. And then if I'm kind of like, yeah, I want to make, you know, some experiments and test this out in the local market, it's only a matter of copy and pasting the same titles and just dragging the same pictures over to Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist, for example. You know?
Right.
But I really wouldn't do it vice versa. Like a bike, for example, that's destined for Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, I wouldn't cross list on eBay because just I know 95% of the bikes I flip would be flipped locally. Like, you know, only like a certain super small percentage would ever go on eBay.
When you say local, is that Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah, that's Facebook and Craigslist. Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. There's nothing else I sell local.
What about like the apps like Letgo or OfferUp? Do you get any kind of, do you get any success?
I like them. I don't know if I like them. I've found things. I think they're better for sourcing.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good for moving anything because I think OfferUp and Letgo are more of like a lazy man's.
Yeah. It's very watered down.
Oh, just people really don't want to like even describe anything. They'll just take a picture of like a baseball bat and be like, baseball bat, $5. And it's like, they only describe it, nothing. It's like really annoying. So like, there's a lot of lazy people on there. I don't like dealing with lazy people. I don't like dealing with shiesty people. Like, I just don't like dealing with them. They congregate in those certain areas. And I think they let go and offer up, you know, are those two areas that they're always there, you know?
Yeah.
I think Facebook, its biggest problem is, it's not even Facebook's problem, but people are like, is this still available? And you reply yes. And it's like, you never hear from them again.
Yeah.
That's very common on Facebook Marketplace.
Yep.
I feel as if Craigslist might be one of the most serious ones out of all of them, but then the amount of people that are on Facebook Marketplace, I think it's easier to flip an item on Facebook Marketplace than it is on Craigslist. But it's also, you have to deal with a little bit more BS, you know, a little bit, not much though.
So is selling like your flipping, is that your main source of income, or is it a mix of that with like, I mean, obviously, you have 40,000 subscribers,
a mix of that and like all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's a mix of that. And one is semi-passive and one is true passive. It's hard to really, you know, say if something is passive or not these days because, for example, if you have created products and I have 4 guides for sale, right? I'm partnered up with the Green Room as well. Like, I'm one of the owners of the Green Room. And, you know, like, those businesses take attention, right? Not so much the guides. The guides, for example, just need ads every now and then, you know, special sales drawn up, you know, constantly tweaking the email list, Mm-hmm. So, like, those kind of things, while I'd love to say it's passive, it's pretty passive, though. It really is. It still requires a little bit. Like, true passive income is really hard unless I, you know, a lot of times you get it when you deal with property, you know? Mm-hmm. Property, like Airbnb being a house and, like, renting it out for a year or two. Like, yeah, that's pretty passive. That's where you're, like, almost hands-off the whole time, you know? But some of these other things, these digital guides, anyone that has a course out there that's, like, making a lot of money, I mean, they're still working to optimize their ads and optimize their, you know, landing pages and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
It's still work. It's fun work because you don't ever really think that you're doing anything, but the time is going by, you know?
Yeah.
So if you love what you do, you really don't feel what most people would consider work, like how many hours do you work, you know? When you're doing what you love, you really don't care anymore how many hours,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, just like, at least for me, if I wake up and I go to 7 Goodwills or I go wake up on Saturday morning from 7 till noon or 1 or 2, and it's work because I'm making money from it, but it doesn't feel like it at all because it's so much fun, especially when you find one of those items when you know that you hit big on it, you know, like there's... I keep trying to tell people, like, there's not many feelings like that when you buy something for $3 and you know that it's going to sell for, I mean, even if it's going to sell for $25, you know, it's like that little rush you get. It's like an adrenaline rush. I don't know. That's how I feel when I get something like that. One of those big score, not a big score, but just a score, I guess. So you weren't always, I mean, you probably were always flipping on the side at least, but like you had a corporate job, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a really good paying corporate job back in the day. I left it in 08 or 09, right around the worst time in the whole entire world, in the USA, to leave a job. Now, we went through a crazy recession, and I was just so irritated with my job. I was like, I just can't do this anymore. It was a really good paying job, though.
But
while I was working that job, I was still reselling on the side.
You still were doing it on the side?
Oh, yeah. That's how I figured out reselling. I was like, you know, I was making plenty of money, and then I was like, you know, I just want to, like, do different things and wear different clothes than everybody else. So I was like, let me go to the thrift store and check out what they got, you know? And so I went down there, and I was, like, really looking for T-shirts, like, really cool, like, vintage T-shirts. I just wanted to wear something downtown, you know, while I was going out, and instead of, like, buying a T-shirt the very first day I saw a bike outside the front door. I write about it in my very first book, but that bike was, like, $8. It needed, like, $10 in tubes and tires, or no, just tubes, I think. And then I resold it for, like, $80 on a classified ad, like, a couple days later, you know. Not even Craigslist. Like, this was way before Craigslist. So this happened way back in the day, like, 16, 18 years ago. And so from there, I naturally thought, I remember I recorded, because I was a very analytical kind of guy back then. I still am now, but like, if I'm just like, ooh, I want to challenge myself, I'll just build some crazy Google Excel thing going on, you know, and I'll start tracking shit.
Uh-huh.
And so I built something right then and there. Like, after a couple of those clips, I was like, man, I wonder how much I can make in a year, you know, like, just doing this. Let me just start, like, recording all these clips. And I think in year one, if I'm not mistaken, it's like $13,700.
And that was just the first year.
Just from clipping. Yeah, that's my first year. Then the second year was around $27,000-$28,000.
Is that profit?
I was like, all right. That is, I forgot if it was profit. I think it was, actually.
I mean, even if it's not, you're still...
Because mostly then, I wasn't even doing eBay back then. That's the thing. Most of this stuff was, like, all local. And most of it was bicycles, honestly. So, and bicycles back then, like, I have a really big, you know, knowledge of bikes. So, like, naturally, when you start reselling, you're going to want to resell things that you know about.
Right.
So whether you're, like, a hype beast kind of person, you know, all about, like, Off-White and, like, you know, Bape and whatever. You can probably try to, like, locate things like that, or sports memorabilia, jackets, you know, starter jackets, the whole nine yards. You're going to try to look for satin things. And, you're going to start there. Like, I was really big into, like, outdoors things and, like, related goods because I had a book back then. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start with bikes. And I was like, well, I wonder how much other stuff I can make money on. Surely it's not just bikes. So I started flipping water skis, wakeboards, tow ropes, towables, and, like, everything dealing with the lake. But after that, it just went from, like, oh, you know, there's a cool pair of boots over there, and I know what those are worth, and so I pick up boots, and I naturally think, well, what about more boots, you know? Like, so I just added to the arsenal slowly, and it led to where I am today, which is I have a pretty vast knowledge of a lot of things. And so I make guides about it, which people can find at bonafidehustler.com. And those guys are just there to train people on exactly what to look for in certain genres. So I have a bag guide, I have a shoe guide, I have a high ticket items to bucks guide.
You have the free guide.
Bikes to bucks. And then I have a free guide. Yeah, if you go to bonafidehustler.com, like the second you get on that site, within like a couple seconds, there should be a pop-up and you can get a free guide, whether you're on your cell phone or your laptop. Go to bonafidehustler.com. Get the free guide, which is 50 used items that you can resell for cash. These items you can find at thrift stores and garage sales. And I urge everybody out there, even if you're making good money, you need to learn this, because no job out there in the world is, unless you own your own company, no job is forever. Even right. If you own your own company, that's not forever either. You know, so you have the security or job security these days is just such a hoax. Unless you're like in the top partner tier, VP of this or something, unless you're in the top, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your job is pretty much expendable.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think everybody's probably felt
that's
that.
Pretty much where everybody is. And a lot, even if your job isn't expendable, most people have mastered their craft. They're in a position and they're bored, right? Mm-hmm. And they're making good money, but they're just bored out of their mind. They're like, this is dumb. Like, I'm not feeling what I felt when I first started this job.
Yeah.
So it might not make sense to leave, but like, you should still learn this stuff on the side, because you know, it's just a great skill to have, so that way you have options. In case you do want to leave one day, you're not just sitting there going, well, I need to find another job. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. This is something that you can do with no boss, no one looking over your shoulders, no cubicle, and there's nothing strapped to your head where you got to talk to any clients. You know, like, this is a real world thing happening right now. People are flipping items that they find at thrift stores. You know, Goodwill, Salvation Armies, Habitat for Humanity, they're finding used items in those places. They're putting them on places like eBay, Amazon, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. They're finding these items also at garage sales and yard sales, estate sales, swap meets, pawn shops. And the pawn shops, I was killing it back in the day, pawn shops.
Really?
I still go to them now. But like, pawn shops, of all places, you would be thinking like, wow, isn't that where all the slimiest people and the hood rats like hang out? Like, no, like, pawn shops have an incredible amount of quality goods. And if you just know how the whole system works, you can get some crazy deals there. So majority of the bikes I flipped back in the day was actually from pawn shops. It was not from garage sales. I would be filling up my company minivan on the weekends with like 3 to 5 bicycles on every trip I would go out to pawn shop with my girlfriend. We would just go out and just like buy a bunch of bikes, and then I would come home and I would just look at each one and be like, I know I'm making about 150 on that one. I'll make 2 on this one, maybe 3 on that one. That one will be 100. Like, I just could just point to it and be like, with a little bit of work, like, these bikes are going to be sold in this city. And I was definitely one of the top bike resellers in this town. There was only one other guy. And the reason I know this is because I saw him everywhere I went. There was no one else that was that consistent. His name is Eddie. And I think to this day, he still flips bikes. And one time I saw him in a bar like 5 years ago. I'm like, so how's the bike thing going for you? He's like, well, and this is just classic in any job. Like, he goes, well, you know, the town is growing so big and it's bringing a lot more resellers. I kind of need to learn about other things out there to resell. And I'm thinking, why is it taking you so long? You know, like, I just think in my head, like, you need to be, like, diversifying immediately. And that's the reason why people need to figure out this craft now. That way it gives you a diversification kind of play on your life. And if you want to pivot one day, you can. And this can be, like, your thing you do in between, for example. You know?
Which, I mean, part of, like, the diversifying is part of the fun too. Like I was watching one of your, I forget what video it was, but like, one of the guys you were with was going nuts on like some pots and pans. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I didn't even think of that. Like, there's money to be made in flipping pots and pans. I would have never thought that. And, it's just like it's, the flip is there. People, I don't think, are taking it as serious as I am. That, I mean, at least that are listening. But, like, the flip is there. And I got a little bit of attention on the podcast recently. I was just messing around, took, like, a screenshot of my earnings for, like, the 60-month total on eBay. And I tweeted it at Gary V, and he retweeted it and then posted it on his Facebook. And then I think posted it on his Twitter or his Instagram. And it just, like, the numbers on the podcast went up. My engagements on Instagram and Facebook were all like ridiculous. But what do you think about guys like that? Like, do you follow him at all?
do follow Gary Vee.
What do you think of like his advice of, I don't know, just like his trash talk episodes? Have you watched those?
Yeah, I've watched them all.
Do you think he's giving realistic numbers on the stuff that he's like the mugs he says are like $30?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a sensationalistic argument. I don't know if that's a word, but you know, you have to play a sensational kind of like persona, you know, and you got to get people interested. There was one thing he picked up in one video, and I was like, why? But I think it was like a $5 plush. He's like, this will sell all day for 10 on eBay. And I'm like, okay, like that is great. Most dumbasses would be like, oh, that's double your money. But like after shipping in an eBay cost, like you're not making anything.
Yeah.
You're actually like losing money more than my thing with the size of that plush. And I'm like, I noticed that really quickly. I don't know if he caught it or his editor caught it or whatever, but you know, when I make my videos, and I'm not saying I'm any better than Gary Vee. Gary Vee is good at what he does.
Right.
He's good at getting attention. Is it good for is it good for the people that are resellers? I don't live a scarcity mentality. I cannot tell you one way or another. Like I'm always optimistic. Abundance is key. Like everybody wins. Like that's just my mentality. I don't care if someone's trying to ruin the game for anybody else. I'm gonna stay strong in what I know, and I know because of that, like the game is never ruined. The game is always mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he can do what he wants. I just think that. I don't know. It's like he does it every now and then because it's a cool thing, I think, to show on his show, you know? And it's getting a lot of attention because a lot of just, it's attracting a different demo to him, I think.
That's a demo he
never had before.
Very true.
And so in order to nurture that demo, you have to give them, not advice, but value, right?
Right.
It might not be the right value, but it's still value in any given way. If the people go out to a garage sale that just heard it from Gary Vee and they make $30, over, you know, the span of 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
that's enough to ignite a fire in a lot of people to be like, shit, like, maybe I could do this again next weekend and make $60, you know? Like, and that's a good thing to have. So, you know, props to him for showing it to a lot of people. I'm not the kind of person who hides my success or hides my secrets or anything like that. My YouTube channel has almost, 800 videos? I don't know, something like that. And I just, tell people, I've been telling people for 6 years, like, what to buy and what to resell.
Right.
And that is good for me in my personal scenario and in my hometown. Like, I just give advice on, you know, make it funny, you know, I try to merge value with entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it works. I think one day the channel will absolutely take off. It's just a matter of time. But it seems as if a lot of people that, The genres that are blown up right now are like storage war kind of things, storage things, trash curb pickup things, and Nike boxes in the background of all your Instagram pictures, like that kind of stuff. That seems to be like the big thing that's picking up, and that's fine. I think everything gets its day, you know? I think it's going to be funny on Instagram watching all the orange walls of Nike stuff like go away once, let's say, Nike governs on Amazon real hard at third party. I think all those pictures are going to change drastically, and it's going to be one of those like scenarios where it's not like you should have diversified, because I get it. If you can kill it now, kill it for as long as it, you know, but don't ever act like this stream is going to be there forever, because there's absolutely no way it will be. There's no way. Anytime a bunch of people jump onto something, there always going to be some bad apples that ruin it for everyone.
I mean, one of the first things that I started flipping was Pokemon cards, like 2 years ago. And just from 2 years ago to now, the market is so, like, there's so many people that saw this. And now, I mean, you can definitely still sell them, but, like, you're not making what you were 2 years ago or even a year ago. And it's just like, so then I had to switch to, now I look more like shoes, or just for fun. Like, I've been on a huge VHS kick, just because it's fun for me, of like finding real old vintage, like the original, like Superman movies or whatever it is that I could find. What is it that got you initially into flipping?
Basically sporting goods. Just it was just bikes. I mean, it was like the main thing.
Just bikes.
The very first time, but it was, if you talk about a feeling, it was just a common feeling that everybody has, and that is, I've mastered my job. Like, I'm making great money. I've mastered my job. Like, this can't be the end of life. This can't be life. Like, this can't be it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to let that be life. And in fact, I remember telling my boss on my exit interview, she's like, are you sure that we cannot keep you? Like, we'll give you, give you a raise. We'll put you in a different territory. We'll get you some better client, you know, some better accounts so you can, like, have some fun and be a more, you know, have a little bit more autonomy. I was like, that's just not it. I was like, even if, you know, you paid me X amount more, I told her, I was like, one day I'm never going to know what it feels like to, you know, I told her I can extrapolate 20 years from now with, you know, average savings and everything like that. I was like, I still won't know what it's going to feel like to drive in a fine Italian sports car. You know, I think exactly the words I told her. And I was like, that's just what it comes down to. I was like, I'm not a pretentious guy and I don't really care about money that much. But I think one day I want to know what it feels like to drive one of those things and
right.
have plenty of money, you know,
mm-hmm.
and do good things with it. And I'll never have that feeling if I keep doing this job, even if I move up in it and, you know, become a jet setter and go all over the nation and, like, you know, rise to the top. I'm not going to get that feeling comfortably, at least, you know.
Right.
If there's a difference, there's some people that do the hustle and, like, they take their, like, last penny and they lease a freaking Lambo, you know, brag about it on Instagram. And then there's some people that, you know, like Cardone, for example, that have tons of passive income coming in. And he's like, only until you have tons coming in, you'll have this serious money problem, which is like, what do I do with my money now? Like, there's too much coming in. Like,
yeah.
I have a passive problem, a passive income problem. And that's the best kind of problem to have.
Yeah.
But majority of people don't have that problem. They'll never get that problem. Even athletes will never get that problem because they're too busy spending money on items that don't return them any sort of, like, ROI. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like Gucci shoes and, like, all this stuff.
Right.
Like, this stuff is just
material.
It's almost like a tax. It's a tax. It's material that's a tax on you.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, saving up to buy a strip center or an apartment complex or a duplex trip, you know, like, those are the things that really matter in the end. That kind of stuff. Airbnb
right.
rentals, you know. People that throw 20, like, you know, Toyota Corollas and put them on Turo, for example. Like, those are people that kind of understand what needs to be done.
Right. I mean, one of, like, the things that I've said on here is, like, the $200 wallet and the $10 wallet, they do the same thing. That $200 wallet you buy is going to make you happy for, you know, 5 days, a week. But then you're just going to be looking at what's the next thing I could go buy. What's that next big luxury item that that I think I need. But, I mean, in reality, I don't need that shit. And I don't know. That's just my take on, like, just blowing your money on things that don't really matter in the long run.
Most people, like, live with, like, a five-day plan. Like, majority of people live with, like, a five-day plan, and, like, 2% of people live with, like, a five-year, you know?
Yeah.
So if you can actually condition yourself to, like, live a five-year plan, all your spending habits are going to change. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because no one dreams in 5 years that they're going to be exactly where they are. They always dream for higher, more. Like, for me, my five-year plan shows my house being paid off. Like, I might have property in Colorado, you know? Like, I'm going to have some good options, you know what I'm saying? Like, zero debt. Maybe Airbnb a condo or two in different towns. I don't know yet. But, like, that's kind of how I see my 5 years.
Right.
And, you know, you're right. If you buy the $200 wallet, that's great. See, the problem is people have a lot. The biggest problem is, and this is just prevalent, whether you go cross-culturally, like, you know, all races, all genders, all, you know, whatever, is status. People are afraid that their status is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, and that's, like, the biggest fear of everybody is, like, that their status will change. Like, people will think differently of them. And there's a lot of times the people that you actually don't even care about in the first place. But people are so afraid of, like, a status change.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I be going from, like, a BMW to a Camry, or even a Camry to a freaking Corolla. You know, I have a $40,000 SUV parked out front, and I don't want to put miles on it because I want to save it for, like, the trails in Colorado and, like, the desert in Utah, and I want to be, like, doing fun stuff with it, and I don't want to be burning it all the miles up on my car on Austin highways. I think it's just a sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought this little tiny little Scion that was like $3,300.
Is that the spaceship?
Like, it's just like mini space pod. That's what I call it. The mini space pod. Dude, it's so tiny though. Like, it's so small. When I open up the rear hatch of it and I go right up to it, I'll probably clip my teeth. Like, that's how low this car is. I mean, it's like, all, yeah, it's just night and day different than my Forerunner, and I could care less about what people think about me.
Right.
Thing, you know, like, I don't care about my status. Like, that's the thing with a lot of people, like, they care about their status too much, and even my wife was like, this thing's small, like, she's not quite there yet, but she's getting close, and she's starting to understand the five-year plan thing, and she's, like, on board totally now, to the point where, I mean, even tomorrow, like, I'm selling my boat tomorrow. If everything goes right, I'm going to sell my boat, you know, and take the cash from that, and we're going to, like, just pay down things, and I want to get out, you know, I want to be debt-free in the next 2 to 3 years, you know?
Right.
Like, super debt-free, which is, like, kind of hard to do, but, like, super debt-free with property in Austin, mind you, so, like, you know, taxes aren't really friendly out here, but better than California. but, yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at. I mean, you know, I digress a little bit from the reselling thing, but, like, it goes hand in hand, because, like, it's great to make more money reselling, but if you're just being a dumbass with your money in the first place, you're never going to solve the real problems that are going on, you know? And the real problems that almost everybody has is that they got these big dreams and all that kind of stuff, but they just blow their money in the immediate, you know, time frame. They don't ever think that, you know, they just always think that tomorrow is guaranteed and, like, you know, a year from now is guaranteed, like, which is not true. Things can happen, man.
I mean, even
become a homeowner and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Right.
Become a homeowner and you'll understand how life is really quick when an AC goes out and that's like $6,000, for example.
And it's out of your pocket.
Exactly. Like, you'll know. Like, so people really need to be, like, not buying. They absolutely need to start into this, like, reselling game, the thrift game. Because then when you get around thrift stores, the most beautiful thing about it is not only do you make money because you resell things and you do a little bit of work, it doesn't feel like work because you're getting paid really well, is that you get around the great items that are at Goodwills, they're at Salvation Armies, and they're at thrift stores, I mean, sorry, they're at garage sales and they're at yard sales. And then you're going to find Patagonia and, like, Marmon. You're going to find, you know, every pair of pants Orvis. You're going to find everything Diesel this, like, Ralph Lauren this and that. You're going to find all the clothes that you've been wearing.
Right.
And it's going to be at, like, 85% off, if not 90% off.
Yeah. Especially
it's not
Goodwill.
95% off. Like, I literally sold Goodwill. A Patagonia down vest today for $70 to some guy in South Korea. It cost me $1 at a garage sale. Like, $1. It was sitting on a rack.
Like,
you know, like why? Like, okay, so, you know, I picked it up. It wasn't my size. I could care less. Like, I was like, this is awesome. Like, so you're going to start looking at, you know, almost everything that I wear, the snowboard that I use, the stuff that I use on every day, almost everything, the cameras, all this stuff has been, like, like, there's a lot of science behind my purchasing habits.
Right.
I don't just buy anything brand new unless it absolutely must be bought brand new. Like, I will not buy brand new things, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've learned too much in the game now at this point, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, even like the other day, I went to a Goodwill, and I found like some vintage Tommy Hilfiger stuff for. I mean, I think it was $3.99 a piece. It's like, I mean, even if I have to sit on that for a month or two, like, that's profit, easy.
Yeah,
like,
it's no different than buying a $4 stock if you think about it.
No,
it's a $4 stock that you might be able to cash in for $60 to $100.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like that's essentially what's going on. So when people start looking at it like that, I mean, somewhat smart people would kind of understand that one a little bit because most people out there don't mess with stocks or index or mutual funds, none of that stuff. Like, it's like far beyond them, which the reality is it's really easy to do. But nobody on there, you know. But I just say, okay, look, check this out, guys. Like, if I told you this $4 Tommy Hilfiger vintage, whatever, I want to put $4 on the ground right now, and 3 months from now, I'm going to come back, and there will be $60 or $100 on the ground.
Right.
How will you feel? You know? But that's essentially what's going on. I'm going to put $4 on the ground, I'm going to walk away. When I come back, it'll be $60 or $100 in about 3 months.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's a great way to put it.
When people start seeing it like that, they're like, shoot, like, that's kind of cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You say the stock thing, it's like, okay, don't care. But, like, you see, like, actual money on the ground or something like that, you walk away, they're like, that's interesting. Like, he's walking away from his money. Technically, you kind of are, because once it's tied up, you know?
Yeah.
What
are, like, two or three of the most common mistakes you see people doing, like, over and over and over? Maybe something that you haven't said on a video.
Yeah, I know this answer real quick, and this is not scripted or anything, but I'll tell you, the very first one is that people get too comfortable in their own genres and they never expand. Like, it's one of the biggest ones.
Like, so, the, like, bike guy?
I see people on, like, just like clothing people, for example. Mm-hmm. A really big one is clothing. and they refuse to like look outside of clothing. It's just like, oh, I know, you know, women's clothing so well, and dresses and blouses and whatever, and they just don't even consider how much money is in the other sections.
Right.
So,
meanwhile, there's
flaw number one.
There's a $100 item sitting over on the shelf.
Oh, yeah, and it's just like they don't realize. They're like, all right, they'll be okay making $10 to $15 on a blouse,
but right,
never mind the Sorel boots over there that are, you know, going to yield you about $150 on one flip where you deal with one customer as opposed to 20 others just to try to get that same profit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, right, I don't want to deal with 20 people. I want to deal with one person. Like,
yeah,
it's just statistics here, you know? And it's not even statistics. It's just time. Like, 20 people, 20 times more time. Like, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would much rather make more money in the same amount of time. So, that's the first one. The second one is, I think people don't do on-the-spot research well enough.
That's a,
so they,
oh,
they just sit there like, oh, this is cool, isn't it? And they put it in a Facebook group when they get home, and people are like, what?
Or they look up what people are listing these things for. You can list something for anything.
Yeah, you can list it. Sure, you can list anything. The real authority on eBay or anywhere is there are two markets. One is like the haha market, like kind of make believe, which is the one you see.
Yep.
And the other one is the realistic one. It's the stuff that actually sold the past 90 days. You can actually filter, but you can filter down that data right there on the phone. It's very easy to do.
Very easy.
So, yeah, when you pick up a pair of polo boots, for example, you know, at a thrift store, and you flip them over, and it's like $20. I'm not saying Austin prices here. $20 is like probably about average. But, you know, I look at the sold polo boots over everything. I don't care about the foo-foo market or like the ha-ha market. I care about the real market that's going on. I want to see if that thing has sold, or anything remotely close to it has sold in the past 90 days.
Yeah.
And the other question is how many? Because if it's only like two, that's not good. Like, you know,
right,
but if it's 30 to 100 of them, that's pretty good. Then again, if you look at the normal market, and the normal market has thousands posted, there's only 100 sold, you know, in 90 days, you have to start doing the math and go, okay, there are like thousands of these that are active right now, but only like 100, maybe 50 of them are sold in the past 90 days. That's still kind of a long tail item in my book.
Mm-hmm.
You get, when you start looking at the actual market, and the actual market, let's say, is 100 boots, and then you look into the sold market, and the sold market is, you know, 50 boots. That's not bad.
Right.
That's really good.
Right, you know, right,
that's a fast-turning market, you know? That's a high-demand market.
Yeah.
So you got to look at things like that. So that's probably, you know, problem number two. And then problem number three, I mean, I don't know if this is really a problem. I think people spend too long thrifting. I mean, people have to because, they, you know, sometimes the pockets of thrift stores are just versus the travel time. But I think a lot of people will just drain themselves to death thrifting and never give themselves a chance to, like, think about what they really want outside of the thrift, you know, because they're gaining all this knowledge, like crazy amounts of knowledge. And shame on anybody that doesn't build a course or a guide or anything, a private Facebook group. Like, I mean, shame on you for not sharing that with other people and getting financially paid from that. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time to build guides. I should know because I've built four good ones.
Four. Five.
But it takes a lot of time. Like, it's ridiculous how much time it takes. Then again, if I didn't use majority of my own pictures in my guides, then it probably wouldn't have taken so long. But I use a lot of my own pictures. Like, 95% of my guides, 95% of the pictures in my guides are all my pictures.
So, like, the free one. All those 50...
Yeah. So, the free guide that I made has some pulled from, like, Google and some random places. But there are a lot that are my pictures. There are a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get my actual guides that are paid guides, you have to pay to get them. But like those are like 95 to like 97% are actually my flips, my pictures that I used on eBay or wherever it's sold. Those are my pictures.
Which are only like 30, so, 40 bucks, aren't they, your guides?
Yeah, like I have a guide. Yeah, they're 37 all the way up to 47 bucks.
Okay.
I would say it's the best one to get into if anybody's listening right now and you're like, okay, now I'm interested. I would tell you to get the shoe one first. Like, it's 47 bucks, but man, it's like 189 slides. It'll teach you from zero to hero, like, what to start looking for. You'll make money on that one.
Which, I mean,
but then again,
investing 50 bucks.
Oh, yeah, you're investing. Dude, you'll make it back in, like, one flip. That's the thing. People don't see it like that. They go, oh, my God, $47. We go back to that original example where you leave $4 on the ground and you come back for $100. I'm literally telling you, like, people just obey the guides and, like, look for this stuff, not solely, but, like, while you're out doing your thing, look for the stuff that's my guides as well. You're going to put that $27 down, and you'll probably, over the course of, let's say, 5 or 10 years, you'll probably extract, my guess, is somewhere between 15 grand, maybe 20 grand.
Wow.
Like, that's how much return you would get on those guides. Wow. That, I strongly believe in that, because it's just like, there's just no way. I mean, all the stuff that I talk about in those guides is, like, extremely profitable. I'm still picking it up to this day. Like, literally picking it up to this day.
Do you have, like, some type of option, or have you thought about doing an option where you bundle them all together for, like, a discount price?
I did, yeah, and I do have that discount price. So it's kind of hard to get that discount price unless you're on my email list.
Okay.
It's in there, hidden in my email list, which is, so you kind of have to let the emails come through, but there is a really big sale there.
Good.
All four guides for, like, $97 or something like that. Which is a crazy steal. Yeah. But if people want it sooner, they'll just have to message me on Instagram at TheBonafideHustler. Just DM me and say, I heard about you from the podcast. I'd like the deal, and I can get you the deal link through there.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, if you really want it that bad, don't go through the whole email sequence, because it might take 20 or 30 days to even see the email that has the discount on it. Forget it. Like, I can just hook people up with it if they listen to this podcast, which I know will be some people. I don't know how many of the reselling community would listen to it, but, like, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be some people. So if you want the discount and you want to learn it all, like, I can hook you up with at least four of my guides for $97, which, I mean, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in those guides. And you'll see it. I mean, I relentlessly scour the internet multiple times a month looking for bad reviews on the guides.
Wow.
And honestly, there aren't any.
Good for you. Thing.
Yeah, they're none. Like, I get more messages behind the scenes nearly every single day where it's like, hey, check out this bag I found. Check out these shoes. Oh, my God, your bag guide's awesome. Your shoe guide's awesome. Like, paid for itself in one clip. And, like, or, like, I bought this bag. I just paid for the bag guide three times over. Like, oh, man. Like, I get that all the time. So
nice.
People are pumped up, man. And when you think about it, I haven't met these people in real life or nothing, man. I made a guide. They follow my YouTube channel. They decided to take some action in their life. They got financially rewarded. Now, that's the best kind of customer of all time to have. Because once you can put $100 in their pocket, or $1,000 or $5,000 or something, they're going to remember you forever, man. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, if there's no difference than, like, taking someone that's overweight and then showing them a six pack.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to be like, you know what? That's the dude that got me the six pack. I'll do anything this guy says. That's the kind of customer I want, is someone that follows me for life, you know?
Which you do have another guide coming out soon, which you might be able to teach some people how to get a six pack, right?
Yeah, so I have two workout routines. I have another workout channel called Bod Damn, BODDAMN. And that one's going to have workout guides in about 2 months.
Nice.
I still need to beta test them and get the whole groups, like, tested out, see what the results are, and tweak some things. But these are the same workouts that I've been doing. So, like, and I mean, I'm 40 years old, and I'm in better shape than I ever have been. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm in good shape, like, ha ha ha. Like, I'm in really good shape.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's watched your YouTube, enough said.
Yeah, like, I am, I mean, I'll say it, but I'm very proud of it. Like, I'm in very, very good shape. I'd say probably the top 5%, like, of people in the USA. Like,
I'd agree with that. Without, before I let you go, can you give two or three pieces of advice for someone that says, I want to start doing this. I'm hooked. I have $100 that I'm willing to spend. What do I do?
It's a really good question. All right. So I'm going to tell people, if I had $100 to spend, God, here's the problem with that. Because the best piece of, not the best, but the most, the advice that you would hear most people say would be, watch a bunch of videos and, like, get my free guides and blah, blah, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Watch a bunch of videos and, you know, hopefully you'll find your gold nuggets through that. It can take a very long time. It can get very discouraging, too. Also note that it's a giant waste of time if you don't find your nuggets, right? It can
right.
just be a huge time suck. It's important if you have $100 and you want to turn to $1,000 or $5,000, or if you really start to change the direction financially in your lifestyle, is that, you know, you really use that $100 very intelligently. So I would say, the very first thing is you go to bonafidehustler.com and you're going to get my free guide, all right? My free guide, go check it out, download it onto your phone, and study it. And, you know, those are some really good items that you can start looking for. Now, there's also, if you go to my YouTube videos at The Bonafide Hustler, if you look into my links that are underneath every video, there's another one that the Green Room University, which is my company as well. There is another guy called 100 Amazing Items to Resell that is free. So if you get the one from bonafidehustler.com, it puts you on my email list. If you get the one from thegreenroomuniversity.com, then it puts you on the Green Room's email list. Both email lists have strategically placed sales here and there to get you more into the guides if you want deeper discounts into the other guides, you know, without paying market prices.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you have $100, get those two free guides and then flip a couple items with your $100. The second you make an extra 100 or 200 or 500, I mean, the second, and it'll probably happen very soon, then I would urge you to buy all my guides, except for probably the bikes one, because that one takes, like, you need a garage for that one, you know, a storage, I would say. If you don't have that kind of stuff, you're living in a little apartment or something like that, it might be hard to flip bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that would be the last guide that you would buy if you come through my and buy products. The other thing is, I would say, once you start getting, you know, $500,000 saved up, like, consider joining the Green Room, which is also my company's private Facebook group, and we discuss things reselling in the background. There's all kinds of bolo lists that come out, like monthly and stuff. So, pretty cool place to be. Now, that said, everyone's got paid things out there if you go to YouTube, so you can take your money and spend it wherever you want. But I always like to say that, you know, if you got an inkling of information from someone, whether it be on a podcast or an interview or a video, and it, you know, one thing can change your life. Like, imagine what else that person has to offer you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if anything in this podcast has, like, spurred your attention or whatever, give me a chance to show you through my free YouTube videos and my free guides, like, what's possible, and then take some of that money that you make and buy the rest of my stuff that I have to offer. And that would be the greatest investment you could probably do as of right now. That'll take you into probably, you know, if you work harder than I do, you know, I do 16 hours a week, so I'm definitely not working hard, but I'm making, you know, good money enough to pay for all my fixed costs and then some. If you, you know, do three times as much as what I do, which would probably be a 40 or 50 hour week, you might be thinking, that's crazy. Like, think about it. Like, this is your week. Like, you do whatever you want.
Right.
Like, this is your rules, you know, like, that's the best kind of week of all time. You could probably make, my guess, in year one, like, 50K, year two, 80, and then year three, maybe 100, you know, something like that, mm-hmm. I would think. All day, like, all day.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is there. Anyway, man, I appreciate you so much for coming on here.
For sure.
Can we get one of the Bonafide Hustler goodbyes?
Yeah, for sure. So, don't forget to watch my stuff on YouTube. You can subscribe to me there. Find me at bonafidehustler.com to get all that free stuff. And I will catch you on the next podcast. Take it easy. Goodbye.
Thanks, man.
Of course, dude.
There it was. That was the Bonafide Hustler. That was Chris. I hope you guys got some good information out of this one. And like I said, the dude is a wizard when it comes to flipping. And if you are interested, I'm gonna list. I mean, the link to his Instagram is gonna be in the description of the podcast. And the link to the podcast to his website for that free guide is in his Instagram bio if you didn't catch where it was throughout the podcast. So anyway, guys, I appreciate you for listening. What are we going to go out on this one? Some St. John. Until next time, everybody. Peace.
Bitches to myself, cause I'm selfish. Little nigga, girl, I know you felt it. Young at all, and he tried to tell you I'm for real, baby.
Ain't no effects, we come for the checks. We stirring the wrecks, we trapping the jacks. We sleeping the jets, we really the best. We pull up and flex, we speaking baguettes. We niggas in text, the bitches in text. We came from the bottom, we never forget. Hey, hey, hey. Got to a coward, I never allow it. Them niggas is jealous, the niggas are sour. They watching the globe, they wanting the power. Aim at your head, I send you the flowers. I stand on the couch, I piss on the towers. Sleep in the pools, I'm fucking the showers. For all of the days, it didn't allow us. Hey, hey.